Oh, hey, welcome back. Today we are in part three of the Theology Matters series, and I'm sharing a conversation I had with Robin Ryan McDonald, a faith-based holistic health coach, a proud mom, and a wife with a passion for supporting and empowering Jesus-loving women to gain true health while losing weight. She does this through her sustainable, grace-based process. She loves to help women ditch chronic dieting and disease for holistic health and wellness, and she mixes her seminary background with her study of integrative nutrition to help women develop the energy and vitality to live out their unique God-given calling. As we talked through Robin's testimony and heart for health, we kind of naturally went down the path of weaving theology into the conversation. Robin and I discussed how your theology affects your health, whether you're aware of it or not. Robin ended our conversation by offering some practical application for taking care of yourself and honoring the temple God gave you. We had this really natural flow that was no doubt led by the Holy Spirit. And despite us initially connecting to discuss a different topic, which we definitely address in our conversation, we ended up here. So I'm confident you're going to enjoy this down-to-earth conversation. I'm excited for you to get to know Robin. And I've included links to her show and a gift that she has for you right here in the show notes. You ready to dive in? Let's do it.
You're now listening to Her Renewed Strength, the podcast, a place where you, my sisters in Christ, are encouraged to walk by faith and equipped to live well, steward well, and set your minds on eternity. I'm your host, Erica Diaz Castro, your Jesus-loving Puerto Rican life coach. If you're tired of living a life burdened by anxiety, burnout, or overwhelm, if you're ready to do more of what you love, create more space for the things and people that matter most, and better steward the gifts and resources God graced you with, if you want coaching, encouragement, fellowship, and just a friend to help you shift your perspective from the temporal to the eternal, you're in the right place. Grab a coffee, journal, and a pen. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to the party and let's dig into today's episode.
All right, y'all. I am here with my new friend, Robin Ryan McDonald, and I'm excited for us to have a conversation that you all can tune into and hopefully be encouraged by. Thanks for being on the show today, Robin.
Thanks, Erica. I'm super excited to be here.
Yes, me too. And y'all, I know that I bring on guests sometimes, and you might wonder, like, where did she find these people? Well, Robin found me, praise the Lord. And in getting to know her a little bit, I was like, I would, just love to have her on the show. So tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your journey to faith, and just share a bit.
Yeah, of course. So I am a follower of Jesus. I'm a wife of a mama of two little guys. I've got a 4-year-old and I guess depending on when this comes out, he's almost two, my youngest, which like kills my soul to say he's like almost
I
two. We
know.
were just talking about our babies before we started recording.
Yeah.
And my journey to faith, I'm really grateful. I grew up in a Christian home, and gave my life to Jesus when I was 4 years old. And with that though, no, unfortunately, it's just this world. No life is without challenge. I'm also very grateful for my mama. She is a Holy Spirit filled, Jesus loving, like just like incredible example of someone who truly just loves God. And ever since I was a kid, I can remember her talking about like, yeah, it's just she's just presence. Like she just loved to be with the Lord. And I like it, the spirit within me yearned for God, seeing how she described her relationship with him. I was like, what do you mean? Like you just were friends with Jesus. What do you mean? Like you just talked with him or you heard from him. And it just like, it stirred me so much. And so I would ask her so many questions, and I'd ask her to pray with me. Even one point, I remember her asking her to pray for me to experience God that way. And I actually asked her to stop because it was almost like I could feel the impending presence of God coming like at the result of that prayer. And I have since felt that, but I've always thought back, like she's like, okay, baby girl. Like she's just very respectful. And she's like, no worries, we don't have to do that right now. But like she I don't know. I believe wholeheartedly in the power of a mama and how we influence our kids. And my mom like has absolutely sown some major seeds into who I am. And so I really, that set me on a fantastic path. Sadly, my parents didn't end up staying together. My dad made some decisions that he was unfaithful and led to their separation and eventual divorce. And it was really challenging. It was really hard. He ended up finding somebody else, starting a whole new family. It was one of those things growing up, we were always seen, and I honestly believed we're kind of the just, you know, standard happy-go-lucky Christian family. Everything's peachy keen, nothing's wrong. And I'm grateful I truly believed that. And so it felt like a really good childhood. In hindsight, you can look back and see like, okay, like, yeah, my parents probably didn't have the best relationship. It's probably not normal that they didn't like go on frequent dates or like seemed very friendly with one another. They were nice and kind, but you know what I mean? It was very like coexisting, sort of a relationship. So with that said, that was very challenging in adulthood, but it also created an incredible opportunity to experience God as a father because of the choices my dad made. And I don't know if I necessarily say I was a daddy's girl because, like I said, my mama and I are super close. She's still one of my best friends. But I also used to always tell my dad, you're the best daddy in the whole world. Like I loved and adored my dad.
That's sweet.
And so, you know, in light of his decisions, it was really difficult to reconcile, you know, wait, my dad, who's the best daddy in the whole world, did what? And, you know, having to process through all that. And
How old were you?
I was older. It happened when I was 19.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of a different, you know, every age has its challenges. And so in some ways I'm grateful. A lot of ways I think I'm grateful that I was older and got to kind of have that childhood where I thought everything was okay.
Yeah, of course. Stability in a sense, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. But then also grateful that as an adult, I just feel like I had the maturity and the foundation to process through it in a healthier way. I was also at a stage where I had a lot more resources available to me. My university had free counseling for students. And so I was able to take advantage of that and had an option for that. So with that said, that's really my faith journey. I feel like each season has created opportunity to depend on the Lord in different ways. Really making my faith my own, experiencing the Holy Spirit, getting into his word. I did go to a Christian college. I ended up going to seminary, which I do remember people saying like, okay, well, be careful going to seminary because they call it cemetery for Christians. That's it. Like,
oh my
and
gosh,
I'm curious.
I just started hearing that myself.
Did you?
It's like, why?
I was going to ask you what you thought about that. And what I will say, and I don't think this has to be the case, I found myself in approaching the word after seminary with this tension of like, okay, well, I know how to exegete scripture and like you have to read it this many times and you want to consider the context and you want to consider all these different factors. And I kind of found it difficult to just sit and read it,
like
just
normal.
Approach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
like
reading
normal.
A passage and moving on. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it kind of felt like, yeah, it just was this weird thing where it's like, okay, I just read it. I don't know what the other background things. I didn't sit with it, but like, or like, okay, God, like,
yeah,
I had some really awesome encounters with you before I went to seminary,
seminary. Oh my gosh.
Before I went to seminary, without knowing all of that stuff. And it was just as powerful, just as transformative. Like, I don't want this to take away from those moments. And I feel like I've come to a place where it is the resource and tool that it's meant to be. It's less of a, you know, oh, I have to, you know, study it just right. Otherwise, I don't really know what it's saying. Like, 100% is just the way that God meets us in it. There's the Holy Spirit. Like, we can't discount that. So anyways, as far as how I got involved in health, because, you know, I went to seminary. I was planning on doing ministry, which I 100% believe what I'm doing is ministry. I just did not expect it to be in the health space. While I was in seminary, I noticed a lot of my peers and professors and pastors in my denomination were having some pretty significant health issues. There were two pastors that passed away in my denomination, and they were young. They were like, they're under 60. And they passed from chronic disease, lifestyle induced things. And I just, I had this thought where I was like, God, like, I'm here studying, you know, how to read the Bible, how to formulate theological concepts, how to do meaningful ministry. And I'm looking around and all of us are like sleep deprived, like addicted to coffee, waiting for the next like free donut to show up in the lobby. Like we are not healthy. And, you know, I'm thinking we're not being fully equipped to do what God is calling us to do because we don't know how to care for our physical well-being. And I, at the time, I was always athletic and I wanted to be healthy and well. I didn't have the education and also didn't realize that what I was doing was not actually supporting my well-being physically. So at that, also during that time, my grandparents were going through a lot of health issues, everything across the board from diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer. Across the four grandparents that I had, those things were showing up. And, you know, one of my grandpas, I think he passed while I was in seminary. Maybe even both my grandpas did. And both of them from dementia, Alzheimer's. And so again, I'm thinking, man, like, I wish these are, you know, Jesus loving, kingdom impacting individuals. And yet they are being taken out of the game seemingly early. They're suffering what seems unnecessarily because these things that they're suffering from are largely lifestyle induced.
Yeah.
Fast forward, you know, I did end up getting a nutrition certification and studying more into it and recognizing how much we do, like what our choice, how much our choices impact our health and well-being. God's just put this fire in my heart where I'm like, I want to see the bodies that comprise the body of Christ, healthy and well, able to live out their God-given calling, unhindered by disease. And I really feel like there is almost this veil that is preventing the church from recognizing the essential integration of our physical well-being into our walk with the Lord. And it's been tainted by the world's definition of health, by the world's focuses on what's healthy and what's not.
Yeah.
And we're missing out on just having this energy and vitality to have the capacity to love our neighbor without being too tired or exhausted or spread thin.
How would you say your theology shaped how you started to see these things, like your training and just like, you know, how the Lord, how you grew in your walk with the Lord through seminary? And before you answer that question, let me just back up. I also have been, I didn't get so many warnings, but I've read books about seminary that give the warnings. And I will say that since having started seminary, and I'm still super early on, I have only felt more on fire for the Lord and been more moved by the deeper study and, you know, the having like a proper just approach and framework to studying God's word. It's really led me in the direction of being just having a softer heart, I think. And so in that having been the case so far, I recognize why some people might be kind of nervous about that. So like, if you're listening and you're like, I don't know about seminary.
I'm not trying to deter anybody.
No, it's supposed to, there's a quote. It's like, what is it? I think it's like theology leads to doxology, right? Like proper theology essentially leads to worship because you have a deeper and more robust understanding of the Lord. And so if that is the case, and I'm going to tie this into my question, I guess like what I'm seeing is how theology can also lead to proper worship of the Lord through proper stewarding of our bodies.
Amen. Yeah.
You know? And so to come back to that question I posed, how do you see your theological training having influenced your ability to identify those deficits in the body of Christ and essentially be led in a direction to serve the body of Christ in a really unique way?
I love that question. That is such a good, strong, solid question. And I will also say on the seminary point, seminary was also one of my most fondest seasons and memories of life. Like 100%. You learn things about God and his word that is difficult to come by outside of that experience. Can you come by it outside? Absolutely. But and it's just cool to be around other people who are hungry and who are like just sinking their teeth into God's word and what it means to follow him. So so with that said, I, if anything, my challenges post seminary probably have more to do with working out a perfectionistic like mentality of like, no, I like need to do this a certain way than it has to do with seminary itself. But
I feel that.
Yeah. But with that, with that said, yeah, such a good question. You know, and this doesn't take seminary to have as a core value, but we're called to follow Jesus and we're called to love like Jesus. We're called to be and do all that he has created us for. And every single person has a unique calling that can only be lived out, can only occur through you in the way that you would do it. Can God use someone else if you choose not to do it? Absolutely. But it would look a lot differently if you do it than if someone else does. And so there's something to be said about us being faithful and obedient to what God is calling us to do. And the reality is, like, we're in this world where, I mean, there's division. I think even the American culture, I'm in Southern California. We're a fast paced lifestyle. It's very like just do. And I'm like, I'm also wired that way, but there's stress, there's overwhelm, there's division in our culture. There's all these different elements. And I don't know about you, but if I'm feeling exhausted, if I'm feeling tired, if I'm feeling insecure in my body or just not feeling good about myself physically, I don't function as kind. I don't function as sharp or considerate of others. I don't feel like showing up in the ways that probably would be the most loving Christ-like ways available. I think it's, and even too, just in light of the last 2 years, like having a core baseline health in light of all the craziness and viruses and things that go around, like you want to be a healthy person. I just had a friend who was talking about how he started changing his health habits. And he was saying, I heard a sermon about being battle ready. Like, we want to be physically capable to live out and do what God is calling us to do. And so from that standpoint, like you said, body stewardship, like we are given a calling. We are given, you know, we are given this life. We're given this body. I have a very close family member who just went through a major surgery. And as a result of the surgery is having a very tough recovery where we're grateful that she's able to speak and able to move her arms. And I just had this like, whoa, God, I take for granted being able to speak, to think clearly, to move my hands and arms. And this is not meant to be shaming, but rather to give people a weightiness to the gratitude available in the functionality of your body. Like if you are able to get up and walk, if you're able to get up and be in your kitchen and to use a spatula and like cook some food, like we want to steward that possibility. We want to use that. We don't want to let that go to waste because some people don't have that option. And so when we're stewarding our body, our calling, these things, it all comes together and it all creates that pathway to be and do what we're called to do.
Yeah, that's a very important piece to highlight, just that gratitude part. I think what I'm hearing you say is when we aren't healthy, it is much harder, or better said, when we're not healthy, it's easier to be walking in our flesh and just be driven by our carnal desires. And so then when we think about walking by the Spirit and what it looks like for the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in the life of a believer, of a person who is an active witness to a very dark world, we end up missing potential opportunities to be a brighter light because our health is resulting in the dimming of our own light.
Oh my gosh, Erica, that's so well said. And I want to highlight too, because I've heard a lot of people say they often feel like focusing on your health and well-being is a fleshly thing. And I love that you identified when we are actually healthy in a godly way, where again, we're not modeling the world's perspective of health and appearance and whatnot. We're just truly stewarding our body. we're actually able to function in the spirit more effectively. And I think it is, and it's by his spirit that we even have the capacity to break some really hard habits. And that's one of the things, we need his Holy Spirit. Yeah. And that's something that's different about my program. And what I do with my clients is I say, look, like, you know, you've had decades of living and eating a certain way, not in a, you know, shaming you kind of way, just in a, I mean, Lord knows, I always say I was the foremost growing up, like, bless my mama. You know, I talked so highly of her before when it came to like nutrition stuff, she just didn't know. And we lived the typical 90s diet of everything processed, everything from a box, the fried chicken dinners from the grocery store, like all of it, you know? And so, you know, with that said, it's, we don't recognize that those decades we were eating a certain way, it's difficult to break those habits. And sometimes, you know, it's not a super appealing fact when I say, like, yeah, it's probably going to take you a year or two to really create a solid, healthy lifestyle that truly becomes how you live. And people are like, what? Like a whole year, like 2 years. I'm like, but if a year or two in light of like 3 or 4 decades, like that's legit. and that's the power of consistently partnering with God's Holy Spirit and His grace. Mm-hmm. His grace, I know for me, and this is here's a fun seminary thing. And I think of grace like before seminary, before learning, you know, the depths of grace, it's like, oh yeah, God's grace covers the sins. Hallelujah. And amen. You know, I'm so grateful that we have that. And by, you know, it's, oh, by God's grace, blah, blah, blah. You know, hear that phrase. The really cool part about grace that I don't think gets emphasized enough is grace is fuel for transformation. It's twofold. Mm-hmm. It covers the sins and the mistakes and the shortcomings, the weaknesses, but it's also the means by which you can do better and become who you actually are in Christ. Yeah. And so
that's why he says it's sufficient.
It's sufficient.
Yeah, that's the reason why. And I think we kind of miss that, right? Like, not to go off on a tangent, but when Paul shares that that was the Lord's response to him praying to get rid of whatever thorn in his side, like he doesn't explain why it's sufficient as clearly as you kind of just did. Like, you do, there is a level of like study that's required for you to get a more robust understanding of that. And I think that if you just think about it in the way that you said it, like, it is the means by which you are able to do what you can't do in your flesh.
Amen. Exactly.
Then you can recognize, like, okay, actually, I shouldn't be praying for more, whatever, let's just say patience, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I should be willing to receive more grace because it is available, and it's not only available so that I can do better, but it's also available because that is what allows me to be enabled by the Spirit and like presentable, you know, in the presence of the Lord, because he gives it to us. He wants us to have it for a purpose. And it comes back to being a good and faithful witness. Like, who can be a light to others if you aren't able to tap into that light, if you aren't actually turning on the light?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
When you think about why people have healthy, unhealthy habits, and you've touched on this already, you know, just like, we grew up this way. Mm-hmm. But when you think about people who have the knowledge but struggle to execute on the things that they know, you know, when a person hears you say a year, like, they might think, why? Like, why is it?
Yeah. Yeah. It takes, well, to answer the first part of your question, why do people struggle? We are creatures of habit, even just from a neurological standpoint. We have these neural pathways that get forged over time, where literally our brain goes to, I'm feeling super stressed, I'm exhausted, I don't feel like cooking, I know that I could and I should, and it'd be healthier, but honestly, I'm just going to order takeout. Yeah. And that's the neural pathway. It's established that way. You've already got a reward system set up that shows, like, you're going to get yummy food really fast without having to do the effort. And it takes time to forge a new neural pathway that says, I'm tired. I don't feel like doing it, but I know that this is what is going to serve my body the best. I know this is going to give me better energy tomorrow. And I know that this is what's aligned with stewarding my body and pursuing the calling that God's given me. And part of how that work, part of why that works for creating a new neural pathway is, or what's required for that to work, is getting really clear on your vision and your why behind the healthy habits. Because if your goal is just to lose weight for the upcoming wedding, not saying there's anything wrong with that. It's super understandable. We've probably all done it. However, that's not as motivating as I'm going to create these healthy habits so that I have the energy and vitality to play with my great grandkids or to show up for, you know, certain individuals or whatever, something that God's put on your heart that you care deeply about. It's just a completely different dynamic.
Yeah.
You know,
just pausing there, I've done, like, I've studied procrastination for, you know, for the purpose of like serving clients. And there is a disconnect for most people between their current and future self. So procrastination, even in terms of habits, like procrastinating, finally executing on that habit is likely. And this is, I believe it was research out of UCLA that highlighted that people just don't see their future selves as the same person. So there might not be, you know, like there might not be incentive for you to consider that because you don't consider that person even the same person unconsciously, not even that you like actually consciously think that way. It's just like, well, that's me at 60. Like, I don't know what I'm going to want then, or I don't know if I'm going to have grandchildren. You know, there's like all these unknowns that don't help people to be motivated because it's just so far away. And I think that that might be, just thinking about it now, why a wedding, which is definitely coming, you know, the source of motivation to make some tough decisions. However, the other side of that coin is that there is benefit in continuing to make that a lifestyle, not just stopping at the end of that finish line and calling it a day, you know?
Yeah, a couple things to that point. One, I think that's a great thought. And also too, that if someone doesn't identify themselves with that future self, there's also when your identity is wrapped around a certain way of living, right? So if you're like I have clients who say like, oh, I'm just a foodie. Like if there's bread and cheese in the room, like it's over, like forget it. Like there's nothing I can do about it.
That is actually very irritating to me. I'm not going to lie. When people are like, I'm just this, and they like adopt the habit as who they are.
Right. And I'll even say, I've experienced this in a couple different facets. So silly nickname. When I was going through seminary, it was some of my probably most unhealthy time, college and seminary, for nutrition. I was known by my friends, my peers, even my coworkers, as someone who would eat a lot and eat nearly anything, because I was also on, like, it was during the whole time with my parents' divorce. Like, my mom couldn't give me any money. Like, I was working, I was making like $1,000 a month as a youth pastor. And so it's like, I did not have much. So I prided myself in finding free food that I could eat without having to spend money. So that free food was like pizza from an event on campus, or like something that somebody brought to the church or whatever. Like, and so it was not clean. It was not healthy. And I was like proud. Like, I was like, oh yeah, like I'm chief. They call me Chief Hungry Bear. Like, oh yeah, I'll give it to Robin. She'll eat it. Like, or like if I didn't eat a lot, they're like, are you feeling okay, Robin? Like, I'm like, no, I can hang. Like, it's like, I can put down the whole Chipotle burrito and then some. Like, I'll eat the whole carne asada fries. Like, what? Like, it's like, I just.
It's like a reputation. You're holding up the reputation.
Yeah, and exactly. And so then to shift out of that, in some ways, felt like changing a part of who I am, which I actually still hold firmly to. Like, I am a foodie. I will not eat it unless it tastes good. And that's part of my things. It's like, you can eat healthy and like, it still tastes really good.
Yeah, of course.
But there's that element. But then once I like, you know, made my big shift, and like, then everybody started to know me as like the healthy person, I found even a similar dynamic where, you know, I'm finding myself caring so much about other people's health, and I'd be like, oh, like try this thing, like it's really good or whatever. And they'd be like, oh no, like that's just you, that's your thing. And then that like a healthy habit became an identifier for me and not something that was just available or beneficial to everybody. And so it's just interesting, like the identity piece is a huge factor. And so one thing I actually have my clients do before anything else is to sit down and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to them what lies they've been believing about their body, about their health, about what's possible for them in their health. Because oftentimes it's those lies, those beliefs that, because at the end of the day, you're going to live according to your fundamental beliefs, period.
Period.
So if you're putting all this effort and intentionality into creating healthy habits, but at the core, you believe that you're someone who falls off track and goes back to what you did before, or you believe that you're someone who hits the goal for the wedding and then, you know, a week or month, 2 months later, you're back to where you started. Like, if that's what you believe about yourself, it's gonna be your reality.
Yeah.
And so,
because it'll drive your decisions. It's essentially
exactly
your own like theology about yourself. You know, and that's what leads to you making the decisions you make and living in the way that you do.
100%.
So, that's an interesting piece. I wanted to bring just a quick verse into the conversation because it reminded what you were saying before about habits and, you know, what it takes to make change. The verse in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit, like what the fruit of the Spirit is, came to mind, right? So in chapter 5 in the book of Galatians, Paul says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the words that stand out are forbearance and self-control. And forbearance is actually defined as, and I'm not looking at the original language, I'm looking at like Oxford Dictionary, patient self-control, restraint, and tolerance, right? And restraint has been a big theme today in my life. So interesting that that is like kind of what's coming to mind, but also self-control. And it's very important to read this, like listen to us talk about this verse and understand that this is the fruit of the Spirit. That means that when you walk by the Spirit, when you live life by the Spirit, when you use your freedom, as Paul says in verse 13 in the same chapter, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. When you do that, these gifts, these fruits are evident. The Spirit enables you to live in a way that is gentler, is filled with more restraint when it's appropriate, right? And I think of Jesus. Jesus could have wiped out the world and he exercised immense restraint. And I think that if we remember that the very power that brought him back to life lives in us, then maybe if we just slow down before making a decision, we might be able to ask for that power to take over a situation, right? To allow us to make a different decision, take a different path. And I'll even use myself as an example. My 5-year-old is very active and very impulsive, and she tends to be kind of like dominating in conversation. So you can get worn out, you know, it's like she has her own way of like wearing you down to get what she wants. And I'm like, dude, she's either going to be like an incredible CEO one day and like drive change in the world and, you know, through a groundbreaking company or something. Like she just has things that are, they can be really used for such good. But in the wrong setting, like, you know, I got to be praying for restraint and patience and self-control. And the word pneumos came to mind when I was thinking like, Lord, I just need your help. And the word pneumos came to mind. And that is that, and I don't have like any Greek in front of me right now. It's literally just like what has come to mind, but it reminds me of the Holy Spirit, right? Because the Holy Spirit is God's breath. And I'm like, okay, if I take a breath, like that can be the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come and just like give me a fresh perspective. If I just like pause and take a breath, and coming back to the point, which is like health and making better decisions and the stewardship of our body being a form of worship to the Lord because of our beliefs, right? Like fueled and formed by what we believe, we can choose to at the very least like slow down and take that tactical pause and just ask the Holy Spirit to fill us in that moment, because we don't have the strength to drive ourselves in a different direction.
Yeah, absolutely. You saying that, one, amen to the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and the freedom to be free to take hold of the Spirit and to experience the evidence of the Spirit, that being patience and self-control, is extremely powerful. It's so funny you brought that up, because on the episode that I'm releasing for my podcast, I'm talking about self-control. And one thing about self-control that I put into my podcast was how I know for me, when I would first hear self-control, it's kind of like, especially around health, it would feel maybe a little cringy, just because it immediately brings to mind all the moments when you didn't have self-control. And so it just feels like,
yes,
that's the one that I don't do. But I love how you brought that passage up, because it's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. And so it's not one of those things we have to feel shame about not having it, or feel shame that we didn't do it, or that it didn't turn out the way we wanted to in the past. It's actually a great motivator, a great measuring stick to see, like, okay, cool, I just get to sit in more. And like you said, taking in the breath of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to be a part of my walk in this, and letting that evidence come out, and actually being able to have that self-control. And which reminded me of Romans 12, where it says, 12, starting in verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That becomes being like, you know, one of the main verses or whatnot for pursuing health. But I think one of the things that the verse that follows is so key for that. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes, yes.
So that you may prove that what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And mm-hmm. when you think about renewing, like, you have to renew your mind in order to actually have the perspective and the capacity, the know-it-all to present your body as a living sacrifice. Yeah. I think Paul knows, he's like, that's not going to happen unless you renew your mind. Like, we're not going to just be presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. Isn't going to happen unless you are doing that. And even too, the part of that renewing of the mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And that goes back to having that vision of what is, like, who are you in Christ, and what is he calling you to do, and how does health serve that, and how is that aligned with that? And again, if you don't have his perspective on it, we want to take that time to allow him to renew our mind so we can live that out.
Yeah, when we allow the Lord to work in us, and when we are less impulsive, and no shade to anybody who makes quick decisions. I'm a quick thinker. I tend to make decisions pretty quickly.
Same.
Primarily because, right? But I do believe that it's a product, like, it's the result of being in a fast-paced environment. I'm from the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. Similar, yes, fast-paced.
I'm in a huge family. Like, all these things contribute mm-hmm. to my habit of, you know, trying to be fast on my feet and making mm-hmm. quick decisions. But we do fall into the trap at times of, like, acting in our own strength. Mm-hmm. And leaning on our own understanding, like mm-hmm. working. Sometimes I recognize in myself, and it's like, it's not shame. It's not this feeling of, like, feeling down on myself, but it is a sense of conviction that I feel deep in my spirit when I realized I was leaning too much on the information I had and not enough on the Lord when I made this decision, you know? And it's not to say that we shouldn't be using what's available to us. I think that is important, but when we think about how we live in a way that allows us to worship the Lord in everything we do, including stewarding our bodies so that we are healthy enough to serve the body of Christ and serve the kingdom of God, we benefit from slowing down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's actually one of the things both my husband and I feel like God spoke to us about for 2024 is slowing down. I don't know that we're doing great at it so far, but we are at least taking one of our dates at the end of the month, every month, It's only been a couple months so far. We're not that far into the year, but and reflecting on how did we do on that? And looking at the next month of like, okay, where can we cut things out? Where can we like prioritize our family and just being, and it actually, it comes and it to bring that full circle to this, both my husband and I, we're just doers. We're like, we value getting stuff done. And I think that works well. Yeah. I think that works well that we both are that way, because if he's like, oh, I got to get this done, I'm like, okay, cool, do it. I got the kids. Or like, if I'm like, hey, honey, like, I really got to do this, he's like, okay, I'll watch the boys. Like, we're able to support each other in that. At the same time, there is, like you were mentioning, you can end up trying to do things out of your own strength, and you can end up even finding your worth and value in what you do versus finding resting in the innate value that you have as a child of God. And I think the ultimate motivation for caring for your body, stewarding your body, is that you are a child of God. That is your identity. You have innate value and worth. And therefore, it makes sense to take care of that which God has deemed extremely valuable.
Yeah, extremely. Like,
the most.
This is where he placed our spirits, inside these bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I've considered that in the past. I'm like, he didn't give me any, like, he didn't put us in anywhere else, you know? Like, our spirit, our bodies will perish, but like, they're important enough that he put our very important spirits in them, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason. Now,
well, okay.
No, I was just going to read a definition, but you go first.
Really quick on the spirits and the bodies. If you look at the Hebrew perspective of the body, there is no distinction between the spirit and the flesh. It's a very Greco-Roman New Testament concept of this like conflict between the two. For you look at the Hebrew writings, look at the Shema in Deuteronomy 6, where they're talking about loving the Lord God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You look at even the way that the emotions are referred to, everything in the body and the spirit, it's inextricable. Like if you were to talk to an ancient Jew about like the body, spirit, soul, like it would be difficult for them to identify it as separate things. Like it's like, oh yeah, you like, mm-hmm. and your the stomach was the seat of emotions. And so it's like, yeah, your soul is like evidenced here. Like it's a very different mentality. And so even from that standpoint of recognizing it's our modern post like Greco-Roman society, like perspective that there's this like
separation.
Yeah. There's separate versus like, you can't separate it. And so the health of our body does affect the health of our spirit. You don't get away with being super holy and devout and not caring for your body without that being impacted. It just doesn't, it's not possible.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the lie of the modern church is even what you were saying before, the flesh, anything having to do with the flesh, focusing too much on your body or working out or eating clean, like that's just vanity. It's the flesh, bad. And the spirit is good, worshiping God, Bible study, ministry. But you're not going to be able to show up to your Bible study or do the ministry if your body has not been cared for and you're too broken down. You're getting taken out of the game early. And I really believe, like, again, I think it's a veil. The enemy is just like, oh, yeah, it is. It's just the flesh. It's not important.
Yeah.
But it is.
It is so, so important. And I will just thank you for offering that perspective. I haven't gotten there yet in my studies, and so I look forward to it. But I will say that when it comes to whole health, that's like a term in the, I was in fitness coaching. So like fitness, nutrition, health coaching, all of that, whole health is a very popular term in terms of like what we consider to be healthy. So you're thinking mind, body, emotional, and spiritual, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It reminded me that like it's taught as separate systems, and
mm-hmm.
what you illustrated is like it's actually not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The definition I wanted to share before, and I'm going to bring us kind of like to a pause in our conversation, because I'm probably gonna have to bring you back if not, we're gonna be here for like 2 hours. But initially, and let me just, before I share this, initially Robin and I had gotten on the call beforehand and just like gotten to know each other and had some time to consider how we wanted the how we plan for the conversation to go, and it has not gone in that way at all. Like it kind of has, but what we intended to highlight, we both, you know, prayed before this and we're like, all right, Lord, if you want us to go in a different direction, like just go there. And so here we are. And what you don't know, Robin, is that in April, when this airs, and this had, I plan to air this later, but it's going to air in April, I'm doing a Theology Matters series. And I had asked the Lord earlier today, would you give me what is in this series? Like, I have one guest lined up. I have an intro conversation already, you know, lined up on the schedule, but like, I still have three episodes where I'm like, I don't know what you want me to talk about. Like, why it matters to the women that I'm talking to. Right. And in the first episode of this series, I offer a definition of Christian theology, which is coming out of a book that I'm studying and like writing all these papers on in seminary. And the definition offered is this: Christian theology is reflecting on and articulating the God-centered life and the beliefs that Christians share as followers of Jesus. And it is done in order that God may be glorified in all Christians are and do. And so as I was like, I'm like reflecting on our conversation, I'm like, this is exactly why theology matters when it comes to us thinking about our health. And this is not the conversation we planned for, but it's exactly what I believe the Lord wanted us to highlight in response to this very specific prayer that I prayed. So today I just want to kind of bring our conversation to a pause, because I do want to bring you back if you're good with that.
Yes, yes. I'd love to.
And just kind of like invite you who are listening to consider what it looks like for your stewardship of your body and your health to be worship to the Lord. Like, if you offer your health and your wellness as a form of worship to the Lord, what does that actually practically look like? And you being a health coach, I would love for you, Robin, just to share like a couple of final tips or, you know, like points of encouragement practically of what that might look like for people who are like, I don't have time. I don't know where to start, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I strongly encourage, the first thing that I always say for tips is to just start praying about your health and inviting God, not just, you know, when we pray before we eat, but even like pray when you walk into the grocery store, pray when you walk into the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you need to pray before you go to bed, knowing that you're trying to wake up early to get to the gym, like invite him into the process and try to be intentionally mindful of that. Because like we were talking about, of like depending on the Holy Spirit and being connected with him, like that truly is your secret sauce, the ultimate fuel as a believer to take hold of and trying to implement healthy habits and trying to, like you described, you know, living a worshipful, healthy lifestyle. So that's first and foremost. And it can't be understated. It can't be skipped. Like, it's like must do for preparing for that. From the just like tangible practicals of like, okay, cool. Yes, amen. What do I do health-wise? You know, in the same way that I think as believers we can see the simple, consistent things as maybe like, does it really make that big of a difference? I know you and I think getting in the word is extremely important and powerful, but it also, I think for a lot of people, it kind of feels like eating clean and healthy. It's like, well, like, you know, I try to get to it every now and then, or like, does it really make that big of a difference? Like, I go to church on Sundays, and it's kind of like there's simple habits that support your health that seem really insignificant, but they make a massive difference. Small hinges can swing wide doors. So the simple things I would say, if you're not doing these things, do these things, is number one, make sure you're hydrated. It's so simple.
Drink your water.
Drink your water. You might even consider checking out some quality electrolytes. I think that's a whole nother episode, but hydration is not just drinking water. Hydration is actually the absorption of liquid into your cells, or and a big part of that requires the electrolytes. But regardless, if you're not drinking at least 80 to 100 ounces of water a day, it's time to start. Try and get it in early. If you wait till nighttime, it's going to mess up my second tip, which is to prioritize good sleep.
I knew it. Oh my gosh. And I'm coming off of like a terrible night of sleep because my babies had a
all
hard
the mamas
night.
With the young babies, you get a pass.
Yeah. It's like you'll have your season to sleep, but yeah. In the interim, we must endure.
Mm-hmm. I will say, I know for myself, I do the thing, and this is probably my biggest health vice, is I put the kids down, I clean up the kitchen, you know, I tidy, whatever. And sometimes my husband's gone at night, so I don't get to like connect with him like I would when he's home. And so then it's like, okay, this is my time. And my time ends up taking way too late into the night, and then I go to bed really late.
Oh,
Even
I'm
though
so
I know
guilty.
I know, because you just want that time to yourself.
Yeah, it's
But
really
then
hard.
they still wake up in the middle of the night. And so then you're extra sleep deprived when you could have, I'll say for me, I could have gone to bed an hour and a half earlier and I didn't.
Yeah.
So it's a real struggle. But I will say, in terms of like the important, like giving yourself a fighting chance in like implementing maybe some of the harder healthy habits, hydration and sleep are huge, because a lot of the headaches, fatigue, you know, we experience, sometimes it really does have to do with the fact that you're just dehydrated. It's pretty amazing. If you like, I've done challenges with in my free Facebook group where all I had people do is drink half their body weight in ounces of water, go for a 15-minute walk, which that'll be my third tip, get a certain amount of sleep, and then have 4 servings of vegetables a day. That's all they did for 5 days. People acted like I gave them some sort of like special instant like health remedy elixir or whatever.
It was from the tree of life.
Yeah, straight from the tree of life. Yeah, 5 days out, they're like, oh my gosh, I lost 3 pounds. I feel so energized. I don't even have cravings anymore. Yeah. I can't believe like how much has changed in 5 days. And so I say that because, again, those don't sound super significant. It's like, wait, really? Like, but what about which foods and how much protein? What are my macros? It's like, if you're not drinking the water, get in the sleep, get outside, do a 15-minute walk. 15 minutes is massive. I'm a big, I love lifting weights. I want to be healthy, or I want to be like so strong, like my real
yes,
post
girl.
babies. I want to be like so buff, like just like, oh,
yes.
But it's not my season. But
Yeah,
with that
yeah.
said, going out for a 15-minute walk, powerful exercise. It is highly underrated. It is the most natural form of movement that your body has. The way that your arms swing, your legs swing, you don't do anything else where you're having that same kind of motion even. And so 15-minute walk, and then 4 half-cup servings of vegetables. You can spread them out however you want. I don't care if you throw them in a smoothie, but get your veggies in. Sorry to add a last one, I would say, get your protein in. That's massive too. I have clients who just add more protein and they just start dropping pounds because their body was like, oh wow, now I can actually like do what I need to do. Protein is like the building block for so many things. So those are the basics.
I love it. So I'm going to recap. Okay.
Yeah.
Number one, pray, be talking to the Lord, inviting him into everything. Number two, be in the word of God, because really like
get to
non-negotiable, right?
Yes. Yes.
Number three, drink more, not necessarily drink more water, but be hydrated, add electrolytes. Do you have a favorite electrolyte brand?
I love Element Tea.
Okay.
I don't know if you do that one.
I do. We do liquid IV, but I'm open to new brands.
Yeah, so I can give you the link for it.
Yeah, we'll share that, dudes. We'll share that. And sleep more, get as much sleep as you can. I also am guilty of the same thing. And I always have to remind myself, like, these kids don't care if I went to sleep at nighttime, like
they
super
don't.
late. They're
They
in
don't.
my face. Like, is it morning time? Can I have chocolate milk? You know? And then the last thing, or two last things, 4 servings of vegetables. And you would consider a cup a serving?
Half cup.
Half cup. Okay. So 2 cups of vegetables a day.
Yeah. Nothing crazy.
And nothing crazy. And then increase your protein. Do you have like an amount of protein? Maybe like
you
one
can
serving?
Yeah. If you can try and shoot for 20 to 30 grams a meal, you're in a decent place. You're going to need more than that if you're trying to hit certain goals. But I think for most people, when I've had clients, starting them there is like significant. They're like, oh my gosh, like it's challenging just to get that. So I would say it's a good starting point.
Yeah. And 30 grams is like probably 4 ounces of chicken, guys. So it's like nothing crazy. Very good. All right. Any last words you want to share, Robin?
Can I pray over
Oh, yes,
them?
please.
Okay. Jesus, I thank you so much for the gal that's listening to this right now. I thank you, God, for the immense love that you have for her. I thank you, God, for the purpose and plan that you have for her life. I thank you, Lord, for the things that you've stirred in her heart just in hearing this conversation. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would flood her with your wisdom, with your insight, with your assurance, with your encouragement, with your hope. I pray, God, that you would reveal to her the things that you want to bring out in this season to heal and to transform. I pray, God, that she would feel your presence and your grace. God, that you would even just bless her in this moment, that she would sense you with her. I pray, God, this day would be particularly filled with gratitude for you and all that you've provided and done in her life. And I thank you, God, and just speak and declare health over her, health, healing, and wholeness. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Robin, thank you so much. I have absolutely loved our time together. We're going to bring you back. And I just, I'm really grateful for you being down to go in the direction the Lord led us, because I think this was really, really good.
Amen. Amen. It's honestly been my pleasure. I love talking Jesus and health.
Amen. Absolutely. Where can everybody find you?
Yeah, you can find me on my podcast, Vision Driven Health. You can go to visiondrivenhealth.com to see all the things about it. Otherwise, I'm on social media. I'm trying to get off of social media, to be honest. So I would say that's, I'd say the best place to find me is listening on the show.
Yeah, we'll have links. We'll make sure that we get the electrolyte link as well. And I am hoping that you'll really consider, prayerfully consider what Robin has shared today and taking action on these things, because, man, we have work to do and we need to be well enough to do it. So
Amen.
I just thank you all for listening, and we will see you on the next one. God bless you guys.
Hey, sister girl, if you love today's episode, the best way you can show love and support is to leave a written review on Apple Podcasts. This helps other Christian women who want that same support and valuable content actually find the show. Oh, and if you're ready for more and you want to learn about free group Bible study, upcoming events, free courses, and other services, head to herrenewedstrength.com and subscribe to the weekly newsletter to become an insider. You'll get my weekly top 5, extra tips, and bonuses. I'll see you on the inside.